Brilliant. Now, I just want to, before we kind of begin to speak and everything, this last week has been very, very busy with all kinds of things going on. And just wanted to say a few thanks to, it'd be very difficult to try and name lots of different names because so many people have been involved in Let's Go in different ways to help make the week happen. So just one or two individuals though, and then everybody else who kind of made it happen. Last Sunday, the Bennettsfield Fun Day that was organised by Paul McCulloch. Where's Paul? Paul, just stand up, Paul. I think Paul did... Paul, thanks a lot for organising that. We know you put hours of work, preparation, time, prayer, you know, all kinds of stuff into that day. And although it rained, there was a great atmosphere there. We still, you know, loads of people were kind of reached and witnessed to in different ways. So it was a fantastic day. I want to thank everybody that really helped to make that whole event happen in the midst of the thunder, the lightning. I wonder whether Chad would get electrocuted doing his thing out in the middle of the thing there with his mic, but he's still alive, which is great. And unless he's gone, hasn't he? Has he been zapped or something? His shoe's there and he's already gone. Or he's, he's still there, mate. There's obviously been a number of events during the week. The tea dance, where are John and Sue and Diane? Where are you guys? Help me to really make that happen. And let's thank them. This place was a massive kind of dance area down the front here and loads of tables around. It was a great day. The Friday nightclub that happened on Wednesday, all of those, you guys are involved in that, that about 100 kids come for that, which is great. So let's just thank them, shall we, for putting that on, for reaching loads of kids. And on Friday night, we had about 400, 450 young people here for the youth event that happened. There were 19... young people that became Christians, made that kind of first time with God. And there were loads of others, I don't know how many, but 40, 50 others that went out to really get their lives sorted and get right with God. Some great testimonies. One girl from the sixth form college in town, while Linz was speaking, she just was, God really convicted her about the state of her life and needing to get resorted with God. And so she knew she had to do that. And so she went through to the back there and kind of got her life sorted. And then as a result of that, her mate got saved. So that's great, isn't it? So, and there were lots of other things like that on Friday night. It was great just to see a lot of young people responding in that way. So lots of follow-ups going to happen in the schools and in different ways. So it'd be great to see all these guys added into the churches in the town and what God's doing. And then also Saturday, we had a great event last night, Ultimate Car, Ultimate Life. We had about 800 people that came through that. But what I wanted to do is just that there's a lot of guys who do all the technical side of things in particular who were flat out on kind of during the week, particularly all day Friday, and turning this from a youth event into a car event from Friday night to Saturday, they did an incredible job, okay? So some of these guys only had about 2 or 3 hours sleep from Friday to Saturday, and they were back here at 6 o'clock Saturday morning making the whole thing happen. If you weren't here on Saturday or Friday, and maybe you don't know what it all looked like, I mean, the whole of the inside of the building was like a motor show. The outside street had all kinds of things going on. So I think if all the technical guys, could you just all stand up, and everybody that was involved, particularly doing, you know, John Striden as well, and others that were here all day just doing loads of stuff, can you all just stand up, please? And we'd really like to thank you guys for just the amazing... I know there are a lot more of you. There are a lot more people that are just standing up. They're probably out the back already doing stuff and doing other things. They're just legends, these guys, in terms of serving us and just helping to make things happen. So you have a meeting with people like Rory Springthorpe and Jonathan Crouch, and the thing turns up into let's change the whole world in an evening kind of thing. So it's fantastic to have those kind of people in the church who just love doing what they do. And will just go the extra mile because they want to, not because they think they should do, but just because they want whatever we do to be just absolutely first class, so that people are blown away by who God is in our lives and what he's doing. So we really appreciate all of you guys and everybody else that helped to make all the things happen this week, all the time and effort involved. We just appreciate all of you. And a number of people said to me yesterday, especially as they began to arrive and they looked round and saw what was going on, they said, aren't you really proud? You must be proud in terms of having a church like this where so many people want to come and do stuff and be involved and just do events like this to reach people and all of that. And I just personally, for me, just a real thank you to all of you guys at me off this week, because you've done an awesome job. You've just given your time, your effort, your skill, your abilities, and you just served so amazingly this week. A lot of it's been unseen, but in terms of the amount that's been involved. But I really want to just say a massive thanks to every one of you that's just really just done so much to make this out and really just help do what we do as a church, you know, all the stuff that goes on. So I'm just going to give you a round of applause myself and from me to you guys. And also, we will get round to the stuff in a minute. Just a couple of weeks ago, when all of you, just so much generosity and love, when that kind of happy birthday celebration, I was completely blown away. I was in shock, really, wasn't I, for the day, to be honest. And just at the generosity and the love of the cards and the gifts, and I felt totally embarrassed, really, and especially as there were other people who had birthdays on the same day and around the same kind of day as well. And so just a huge thanks for just just blessing me and the blessing that you guys are. I was shocked, wasn't I? When I got home, Jane's like, wow, do you want to open the gifts? I'm like, well, I don't know what to do, really. I'm a bit, just felt kind of winded, really, by everybody's just love and generosity. So I really appreciate all of you, and massive thanks for just your kindness and your love. So I'll carry on before I begin to cry. Right, Matthew chapter 7, if you want to turn there, we're going to just look at a few things to do with the gospel and God's amazing life and love for all of us, whether you know God today or whether you don't. I just want to read a couple of things and then comment on a few things, and we'll kind of link in one or two of the vehicles that we've got here, just so that you think, well, what's the point of having them here if you don't talk about them? So Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. This is to anybody that's alive, okay, what we're reading now. It's not just to Christians or those that believe in God. This is for anybody. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. God's nature is to give. The first thing that he wanted to do in Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, or the account of who God is, the first thing he wanted to do was to give. That's his nature. Lots of people think that God just either is angry with us, he wants to give us a hard time, or that we have to prove something or do something to get God to like us or to have a good attitude towards us. Well, God, right at the beginning, before any of us around, instigated something of himself in creation, and because he has the nature to give, then he wanted to create us as people to be in relationship with him. And so these few verses we just read here shows that it says, even as natural people, parents or whatever, we want to give good gifts to our kids. We want to give good gifts to people. So if we're like that, how much more is God like that? You know, if you have kids, then you're aware sometimes your kids don't always do what you want them to do. But that doesn't stop you from loving them. You still love them just as much when they misbehave or they do what they shouldn't do. Your love doesn't retract from them and kind of hide from them. Actually, when your kids are disobedient, you actually find you want to reach out more to them and help them through what they're going to so that they then live a better life that you know they can do, but they just need a bit of help along the way. And that's what God's like with us. Sometimes we think that because we do something wrong, or we might not be the kind of people that we think God might like, we sometimes can draw back from God and think, well, he can't like me because I've done this, that, or the other. Surely if there is this God, can he really like somebody like me? Would he really be interested in somebody like me? Well, the interesting thing is, God likes us so much, or he loves us so much, that he didn't just stay in heaven, but he came out of heaven down to earth to come and find us. Now, God is holy. That means he is perfect. And nothing that is unholy can have contact with God, who is holy. And God knew that. And so he knew that any of us as people, we could never, ever reach God in our own efforts, in our own strength. But he knew that in order for us to know him, that he would have to come down to us and do something to help connect us with him. And that's why these verses are talking about anybody who asks will be given, anybody who seeks will find, and anybody who knocks, the door will be open. Because God has already done something to make it possible for every person alive to have a personal, living relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came himself out of the exclusivity of heaven, and he came to make the exclusivity of heaven inclusive for every person by bringing heaven down to earth, living a life amongst us as people, and making it possible for us to know him. Now, we'll come back to a bit of that in a little while. But right at the beginning of in the Bible, the first verse, it says, in the beginning, he created. Now, God is a creator. He loves to make something out of nothing. He loves to do something that seems to be impossible. And it says, in the beginning. Now, if my dad, he loves cricket, and he quotes this quite a bit, that God, this is the first verse in the Bible talks about cricket. He says, in the beginning, in the big inning. Oh. Man, you lot are slow, aren't you? Living heck. So he's like, the first verse in the Bible is all about cricket. That in the big inning, God created, you know. Now, every one of us has a life. So every one of us, we have our innings at the moment. And so we are living out, we are at the batting crease of life. And there's all sorts of things that come towards us in our life. And we all deal with stuff in different ways. You know, sometimes you get a few bounces and you have to duck. Other times you get a bounce and you try and hook it away, as it's called. Sometimes you get slower balls and you have to watch for those kind of things. Sometimes the bowler will just throw it a little bit further to try and get it under your bat, to try and sneak one under, you know, to get you out. There's all kinds of things that come at us in our lives. But God wants us to, God wants to break into our lives in a particular way. Now, I want to link that in with some other things. I want to say a few things and link it all together, okay? Now, just remember that, okay? You're at the batting crease of life and there's things coming at you, okay? Remember that God is a giver. His nature is to give. His nature is to create. So he wants to create something in his image. But because of things that man has done, sin, that separates us from God. So there has to be some fresh work of creation in our life to restore us back to God, to relationship with him. Now, we have various vehicles in the room. This is obviously very obvious up here on the stage. We didn't have enough time to put all the lights back, so that quad bike's a bit in the dark over there. We have a couple of go-karts as you came in. Now, there are various vehicles that were here last night. Some were off-road vehicles. Some were very fast kind of sports vehicles. Some were very powerful. So all kinds of different things. Off-road vehicles, circuit vehicles, vehicles you take on the road. And every vehicle basically does the same thing. They've all got four wheels and a steering wheel. And they all basically do the same thing. They get you from one place to another. But yet they all have very different characteristics. This thing here. How many would you like to have a drive in that thing out on the road? Okay, all those who haven't got your hands up, you just deny it. You're in denial. So this thing is incredibly fast and is a lot of fun to drive. And it has a certain character, a certain look about it, but it's designed to give you a great thrill, a fantastic experience. The thing in the corner there still has four wheels and a steering kind of thing, that the handlebars, and basically will get you to A to B like that wheel, but it's designed to do a very different thing. So that has a particular purpose. The quad bike has a particular purpose. Then there's a couple of go-karts in the back. Again, four wheels and a steering wheel, and they'll get you from A to B, but they're designed to do something very different on a little go-kart track, and you race against others, and you have a great time. And so there are various different vehicles that basically all do the same thing, but they all have a different purpose. And that's like us. There are loads of different people in this room, and basically we have two legs and a couple of arms and the usual features that we have as people, and basically we all live our lives. We're all at the batting crease of life having our innings. But yet, amongst all the different people, every one of us has a different purpose. There are different characteristics. Like all these vehicles, there's a uniqueness about every vehicle that is here today and everything that we've had here the last couple of days. And like us, every one of us is unique because God has created us and made us as a unique person with particular characteristics and personality traits that define who you are. Now, if we could take all the characteristics and personalities in this room, all of those, in some way, are an aspect of who God is. So we might have, I don't know, 400 people in this meeting at the moment, and there's lots of different characteristics, but all of those are in God. All the different types of personalities there are, all of those are in God. And so God has put something of himself inside of us, just in the fact that he's created us as a person to live life. The ultimate purpose is ultimately to know God. But there's something of God in your life today, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not at this moment. There's something of God's spark, God's life in you, that has given you a uniqueness about who you are. But God wants to connect that uniqueness, not just with yourself, but with him, so that you step into the purpose of why you're here and why you're alive. Now, there's something I'm going to call the circle of life. What is the circle of life? The circle of life is you wake up in the morning, you have your breakfast, you go to work, you come home, you have some dinner, you chill out, and you go to bed and you sleep. The next morning you get up, you have some breakfast, you go to work, you come home, you eat, you do something in the evening, you go to bed and you sleep. The next day you get up, you have some breakfast, you go to work, you come home, you have something to eat, you chill out, or you might go to a meeting if you're a Christian or whatever. And save us, Lord. And you come home, you go to bed, you sleep, you get, you know, the circle of life, it just goes round and round and round. Now God wants to break into that circle of life. Okay? He wants to burst into that circle of life to give that circle of life purpose and meaning. See, in that circle of life, we can drive a nice fast car. We could go on an off-road quad bike. You could get your nails done or do this, that, and the other. Whatever you like doing. But there's more than that circle of life. The monotony that so many people are in. You see, just chasing wealth is just the circle of life. Chasing happiness is the circle of life. Chasing peace is the circle of life. Looking for fulfillment in some way from things is just going round in the circle of life. And what God wants to do is break into that circle of life and bring you on a road of destiny that doesn't just go round and round and round, but leads you to a place that is not the widest road to walk on in life. Let's just have a look at a video clip here. And if the guys have got it ready, just want to show you. We actually showed it last night. There's a VT clip of a guy called Ari Vartanen, I think his name is. And he drove this car around this crazy mountain road. And when you see some of the shots, you'll realise how on the edge it was. If he makes a mistake, he's not just in the trees, he's off the side of a mountain and it means dead meat. But let's have a look at this video clip. Great. Well, that's what my wife drives like when she goes shopping to Tesco's. I can tell by the scuffs on the tyres. And enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That's probably the toughest road in the world to drive a rally car around. And, I mean, you could see what was going to happen if the guy got it wrong. He's off the edge of the cliff. But we can live our lives whatever way we want, but there's a very broad road, and it says it leads to destruction. What does that mean? It leads to eternal separation from God. But yet, Jesus talked about a relationship with God as walking a narrow way. And what we've just seen is a car driving on a very narrow bit of road right to the edge of its limits. But yet, the guy's skill and ability obviously kept him from going over the edge. Now, God has a real particular purpose for every one of our lives. But that, to step into that and walk in that, is quite a narrow road. That's what God talks about. It's not necessarily easy all the time. But yet, God knows the road. God knows the destination, and God knows the purpose that he has for you. The basic purpose for our lives is to know God. But are we prepared to put our lives in his hand? He is the expert of life. And are we prepared to put our hands into the hands of the expert of life, and for him to lead us on a journey of life that is like that? Lots of people think that Christianity is just a very easy, you know, leaning on a crutch, you need loads of help with your life kind of lifestyle. Was actually being a Christian and really living out what you believe is like driving a car around that mountain. You have to tread carefully. You have to make sure you keep your heart in check and your life in check. Why? Because when you give your life to God, something happens on the inside of you where you just want to please God. You want to please Jesus. There's something that happens in your heart that changes from, well, if I know God, does that mean I have to stop doing this, this, and this? Something happens in your heart where you say, actually, God, I want to please you. I want to serve you. I want to walk this narrow road. Why? Because suddenly you step into your purpose. You step into a sense of destiny. You step into a sense of the uniqueness of why you're here. And suddenly life opens up and everything suddenly begins to make sense, because peace, fulfillment and destiny doesn't come from out there. It comes from what God does on the inside of you, because he comes to live in you. And you get this sense of, you suddenly know who you are. Because the Creator who's created you suddenly comes to live inside of you. And you just begin to realize, this is what I was born for. I was born to know God. This is my destiny. And your life begins to roll out. Instead of going rolling round in a circle, it now begins to roll out on the road that God has for you. So God wants to break into people's lives today, this circle of life. And he wants to break in with his eternal life. So today you can begin eternal life with Jesus Christ. Just close your eyes a minute. We're just going to pray. The guy there was just asking, well, what's it all about? And as we've been hearing this morning, God's the Creator. He created life, created us as people. And the purpose of life is to know God. And in amongst what that guy's just said there, he's got what he thinks in the natural is everything that he would need to have a great life. But yet, deep down in the depth of his being, he didn't actually have peace and a sense of, I know where I'm going and I know what I'm about. And maybe there's some of you this morning that you don't know Jesus and you've never giving your life to Him. Jesus came out of heaven and lived on earth just as much for you as He has for me. There's no difference between you and me in the natural. The only difference between you and me this morning is God's come to live in me because I've recognized that in and of myself, I wasn't good enough. I couldn't reach God, couldn't do anything to make God like me. But I understood that Jesus loved me already. He liked me already. So much so that before I was even around, He came to the earth, died on the cross, took every person's sin, including mine, to the cross, paid the penalty for sin, which is death, which is eternal separation from God. He paid that price to make it possible for me to be forgiven, therefore for any of us to be forgiven. And just that simplicity of being able to come before Jesus Christ this morning saying, Jesus, I thank You that a couple of thousand years ago, You did what I've heard about this morning. You took all the pain, the guilt, the shame, the sin of my life. You've put it all. You took it all on Yourself. And You became guilty instead of me. And You opened up the way possible to have a relationship with You. And so this morning, we just want to take a few moments. If you know that God's knocking on your heart this morning, He's knocking on your life because He knows you better than you know yourself. He's knocking on the door of your life today saying, hey, I know you. I know all about you. I want to come into your life today. I want You to give me Your life today. I want to deal with that eternal separation that's there at the moment. I want to tear that wall of sin down, as it were, so that You can be forgiven, so that I can come and live in Your life, so that You can know me, so that You can come out of the circle of life and step into the road, that narrow way that I have for you, but is going to be the most fulfilling life you could ever have. And so while we're all just standing with our eyes closed this morning, if you want to respond to God, I'd like you just to raise your hand so I can see you wherever you are. Just raise your hand. We're going to pray together. You're saying, I want to give my life to You this morning. I want to take that first step in stepping out of just the circle of the monotony of life. I want to step out of that I just have not got peace or whatever. You want to step out of that and say, Jesus, I want to step onto this road. It looks like a challenge. It might be narrow. It looks like it could go right at the edge at times. But yeah, I know in my heart that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm created for, to know You. Is there anybody else? We're just going to pray. If you've raised your hand, we're just going to pray. Anybody else here that you want to pray and respond to the Lord this morning? I'm just going to pray. You can pray. You can put it in your own words. But it's just that initial response to God. And then we're going to pray for you. So it'd be good just to pray something in your own heart now. It'd be good to mouth the words and say rather than just in your mind. But I'm going to pray. And if you want to pray, just respond to God. That'd be great. Jesus, thank You for Your incredible love for me. Thank You that You gave Your life for me before I was even around. And I thank You that You sacrificed Yourself on the cross. You took all my sin upon You and You became guilty so that I could be made innocent. And I ask You this morning to forgive me of every sin, everything that has separated me from You. I ask You to forgive me this morning. Wipe the slate of my life clean. I thank You right now that You cleanse me of all sin. You clean me up on the inside. And Jesus, I want to give You my life right now. I just give myself to You. I want to give You my life for the rest of my life. And I ask You right now that You would come and live in me. I want to walk that narrow road with You, but I need You in my life. And I ask You just to come right now. come into my life, take over, be number one, be the driver of my life, be in the driving seat and take me on that narrow road, but that road that is just so full of purpose and peace and destiny and hope. Thank you, Jesus, for your life right now. I'd just like to pray for you. Father, I thank you for those that have raised their hands to respond, those that have just from their heart said whatever is in their heart to you. Father, I thank you right now. You just come upon them by your Holy Spirit. You just seal in them the work that you're doing right now. Father, I thank you that you reveal yourself in such a tangible way into each person's life right now. Father, I thank you. You just fill them with your Spirit. You come upon them right now and ignite your life in them. Right now, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 There are a number of people that raise their hands. Just thank the Lord, shall we, for... Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just at the end, in a few minutes, we'd love to just chat with those of you that raise your hands and just pray with you and just really connect with you. And we want to see how we can really help you grow in that relationship with God. You know, walking this narrow road or driving this narrow road is not the easiest life, is it? But yet, it's the most fulfilling. Those of you that are, you know God this morning, you wouldn't want to go back to that other wide road, would you? It's pretty boring. Because that wide road is just a flat thing that just goes round and round in circles. Whereas this road with God, you never know what's around the corner next. But yet, you know, because he has a bigger perspective on your life, you know, you can just throw yourself into him and he's got whatever's around the corner sus for you, isn't he? I think God's awesome, don't you? Just take a seat for a moment, okay? And we're going to watch church news and see what's going on.